Welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast, the weekly show for nomads, work campers, RVers, and entrepreneurs looking to earn a living or build a business while enjoying the RV lifestyle. This week's host is Joshua Sheehan. Let's settle in and enjoy the RV Entrepreneur Podcast brought to you by RV Life. This episode is sponsored by Wholesale Warranties.
Protecting your RV investment means being ready for anything. An extended RV warranty from Wholesale Warranties is the best way to make sure that if an RV failure happens, you can afford to get back to enjoying the RV life as soon as possible. RV warranties are available for motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers, new and used, across the U.S. Visit WholesaleWarranties.com for a free personalized RV warranty quote today and hit the road with peace of mind tomorrow.
Hey there, RV entrepreneurs. I'm Joshua Sheehan. Welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. This week, we are talking with Malcolm from RV Easy. It's a peer-to-peer RV rental platform, and I'm really excited to share this conversation with you because I think there's, as peer-to-peer platforms become more and more popular, Turo, Uber, Airbnb, all these things, you know, getting them into the RV space is really a unique opportunity, both from the consumer standpoint of being able to test out a bunch of different rigs or different types of rigs, but also from the entrepreneurial aspect of being able to rent your RV out when you are not using it. And also then taking that one step further and being a co-signer or being a host or being a super host and all these different opportunities that these peer-to-peer platforms are providing and the problems they're solving with insurance and booking and all these opportunities and problems within the market. It's really cool to hear how they've solved some of these solutions. So without further ado, we're going to jump into the episode with Malcolm and hear about how RV Easy functions started and is continuing to provide value to the RV industry. All right. Welcome to the RV Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to talk with you today. Give me a little backstory about who you are and what you're doing and why talking to the RV entrepreneur community is important.
Yeah, perfect. Well, first off, thank you, Joshua, for having me on your show. Bit of background about myself. Yeah, I've been at RVZ for about 5 years now. And what we've created is a peer-to-peer RV rental marketplace that hosts two sides to it. So the first side being the guest side, anyone's looking to either get into an RV, they're kind of looking to try before you buy, they're not sure what size or make or model they want. So they come to us, they rent an RV for a week, they rent it for a month. You know, we have longer bookings as well. And they're all privately owned. And then on the flip side, once you do own an RV, and you've been using it, you can actually rent it out through us. We provide all the insurance for you, which is the big thing for a lot of people. And it's a great way for owners, RV owners, to offset their ownership costs. You know, you can pay for storage, maintenance, any repairs that may need to be done on your end, as well as I've known plenty of hosts that have gone on and they purchased two or three RVs, and now they have a small little fleet of rentals that they just run full time.
Yeah, it's a really cool way to, as you said, pay for storage fees or kind of rent it out when you're not using it while still having access to that. And definitely scalable, as you mentioned, when you add more rigs to your fleet, you become almost the Airbnb of RV collectors.
Yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, that's how internally and externally, we call ourselves the Airbnb on wheels.
Okay.
So very familiar. Yeah. With the peer-to-peer.
So what's your background in RVing? How did you choose this market to dive into?
Yeah. So our founders, Mike and Will, Mike being ex-police, Will being ex-military. You know, Mike purchased an RV very early on once he started his family and moved it to Ottawa. And what happened was he bought the RV. He found out he didn't use it as often as he thought he would. So he started to rent it out online, just kind of see what would happen. And very quickly noticed that no one was doing this. There was no safe, secure way for people to rent their RVs. He had people sending them that he's never met, no identification, nothing. Sending them, you know, tons of money over the internet and realize as being a police officer that this isn't safe. And it was a perfect market to tap into. Myself being, I got involved with RVZ as they needed an RV fleet manager. So when we first started, RVZ owned about six RVs and we rented out our own RVs just to get the business up and running. And I came in very early on and I was that fleet manager. I kind of did all the turnarounds. I met all the guests for our personal fleet, did the maintenance, the upkeep, the check-ins, the check-outs, and then kind of moved on over the years into various roles at the company.
So when you came across this opportunity, you had no prior RV experience. What was your thought going into that?
It's a good question. It was funny. I was actually working sales for a mobility company. And when this job opportunity came across, something told me just, you know, try something new and go for it. You know, Mike and Will both said that they would teach me the ways. And I learned very quickly how to maneuver and how to work all the ins and outs of an RV just by kind of jumping head in and going for it. And I've always been kind of interested in tech and kind of things that disrupt the markets. And that's really what RVZ looked like early on. So I was more than happy to jump on board and leave my traditional sales job.
And how long have you been in this position? And I guess a double-edged question there. How long has RVZ been functioning?
Yeah, so we about 6 years now, and I've been at the company for 5. So with it almost from the start, yeah.
Very cool.
How has the landscape changed over those 5 years?
Yeah, it's been a roller coaster. I remember when we first started the market, we weren't really sure how people were going to respond in regards to do they want to rent their RVs, because we know that the RV entrepreneurs, the RV kind of community, you know, they love that, quote unquote, I remember talking to people, they love their babies and they refer to their RV as their baby. They wouldn't want to rent it out. But once you realize that, you know, your RV sits in the driveway for, you know, 80% of the year, and for some people, this is a great way to get it out and on the road. It keeps it running. People are using it. It's fully insured. You as an owner, you get to decide what you want to charge per night. And as well as you have a full calendar, you can block off any dates that you don't want to rent it out. So we really put all the control onto the RV owner, allowing them to do as they wish. But the landscape has changed. We've seen during the pandemic, everybody wanted to get into an RV. You weren't able to travel to Europe. You weren't able to travel between Canada and the US. The only thing you were really able to do was to go camping and to get outside. That was kind of all government mandated. So we saw a huge spike in RV sales, as well as a huge spike in RV rentals, because the dealerships were running out of inventory and people were looking to us to actually rent RVs. So we saw a huge, huge jump in that. And I think we're now just seeing, as you know, the height of the pandemic is kind of moving away for the past year or two, people have really fallen into love with the RV lifestyle and the outdoor lifestyle. So we have a lot of people who purchased in the pandemic who now rent and they have small fleets. And again, we have the people who just go out and buy one RV just to rent it out and use it the other 50% of the time.
So when RVZ was created, you came on board as the fleet manager. So you guys had several RVs to kind of get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys continue to do, is have your own fleet of RVZ owned and operated rigs, or is it all, I guess, platform based now?
Yeah. They're all privately owned now. We sold our fleet probably about 3 years ago, just when we really started things to pick up. You know, it was a lot to manage the fleet. And I at that time moved into the full-time sales at RVZ. So it was hard for me to manage the full fleet as well as the sales aspect of the business. So we ended up selling our fleet, but we currently have one Class C that is in our possession. We're trading it in for a Class B this month. And we're going to get that Class B wrapped RVZ branded, and we're going to rent that out across Canada.
Very cool. Yeah. All right. So off air, we were talking about RV shows and things, and you traveling around to different shows. Talk to me about how this concept has been perceived by the general public. Obviously, you touched on a little bit of people not wanting to rent out their babies, but I can also assume that there's a lot of people on the opposite end of that spectrum. So what is the general reaction when someone comes across this business idea, and or what are some of their initial qualms or concerns about taking something that was a personal recreation and considering it as a business opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. It's a great question. And I think it varies state by state, right? Just to give a bit of context, last year we traveled to 11 different RV shows across the US, and some markets, some states are much more mature than others. For example, you know, New York just got Uber a few years back. Florida is a very mature market. They understand the peer-to-peer market probably because of all the vacation homes and the vacation rentals. But kind of the first thing people ask me is, oh, what happens if the guest damages my RV? Or what happens if the RV comes back dirty? Well, we have a full insurance policy, very similar to that of Uber, right? It's $2 million liability, full comprehensive, full collision, fire, theft, vandalism, you name it. It's all in the policy. We also take a $1,000 security deposit on every booking. So in the event that the RV does come back dirty, you can charge your guests from that $1,000 security deposit fairly easily. You just put it in the app, you send the photo, and that money comes out almost instantly as soon as everyone signs off on it. So that kind of handles that aspect if it comes back dirty. But the main thing, it's peer-to-peer, right? Your guests are coming to meet you. They're picking up the RV from you. And the main thing is they're coming back and dropping it back off to you. You're doing a checklist with them. You know, it'd be kind of embarrassing if they pick up the RV from you and they bring it back a mess. It doesn't happen that often. You know, I've been here for 5 years. We've done thousands of rentals. It really doesn't happen as often as, you know, that's the first question everyone asks me. Mm-hmm. It really doesn't happen.
When you guys are looking to expand the reach and kind of educate the public about this option, what are some of the ways that you guys market that and get the word out about this opportunity?
Yeah, for sure. And we're always looking to grow. We started in Canada 6 years ago, and we just launched in the US 2 summers ago. So we're the new player in the US. We're looking to grow for sure. The RV shows are a big avenue for us. We tend to connect face to face with a lot of potential RV buyers and a lot of people who already own RVs at these RV shows. So it's a great way to connect personally. Refer a friend. So if you own an RV in any state and you know someone that wants to list their RV, you refer them to us. We're willing to pay anyone who refers anyone $100. So that's a big way for us to grow as well. And kind of word of mouth, we're all over social media. We're going to have the RVZ Class B going around Canada and then potentially the US as well. So you might see that at some national parks. But yeah, that's been it for us.
What have been some of the roadblocks for you guys going forward? You know, after everything's been opening up, people are getting back out. It seems like some people are diving head first into RV life continually, and other people are kind of saying, yeah, this was a nice break, but I'm going back to doing some other types of travel. What have been some of the big roadblocks that you've dealt with the past 2 years and then also going forward?
Yeah. So, you know, the major roadblocks for us was, I mean, during the pandemic, it was kind of, we don't have enough inventory to handle the amount of rental requests coming in. And that was just because all the dealerships were backlogged because they weren't able to source any parts and they didn't have enough inventory because of the huge spike of people purchasing. So that bled down into our kind of channel and of rentals. And we had owners that were fully booked up. They couldn't believe it. That was probably the biggest roadblock for us. Upcoming, what we're looking at is just continuing to expand in the US. We want to get into every state. Like I said, some states are more mature than others. But we really want to get a good grasp across the U.S. We know that it's a great place for campers. Every state is very unique in that regard. So just, you know, scaling the U.S. profitably and making sure that we're able to have a presence everywhere we are.
So I know there's a huge contingent of this audience that are content creators. Yeah. Have you guys dove into any opportunities for content creators to pair with you? And what does that look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question. We actually have not. That's an area that we need to improve on, is just basically our social media, working with content creators, and that's on our roadmap. So that's kind of why I wanted to reach out to you, just because of your following. And anyone who's willing to or wants to work with RVZ, we would be more than welcome to work with you and help grow RVZ across North America.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool opportunity. I can think of a lot of different ways that could be helpful for you and for content creators. What kind of roadblocks do you foresee or hurdles that would have to be overcome with that kind of arrangement? Because obviously, at that point, you know, oftentimes between a content creator and a brand, there's two parties involved. Well, now because of your business model, there's a third party involved, it being that there's an individual who owns the asset, right?
Yep.
Can you think of anything that is going to have to be figured out before that can proceed forward?
I mean, I think that there's a few ways. We have kind of what we call super hosts. So I think if we were to reach out to a super host, we'd be very easily able to connect with a content creator and kind of, whether that's getting them a rental for 2 weeks or a week and them doing a tour of a national park and getting footage and doing the handoff with the owner and the renter. Maybe that's them renting the RVZ Class B and taking it for a month and going up and getting footage for us, or, you know, running a contest for us online. That there's tons of ways. We're very flexible. We're a nimble company. We've always have been. So we're, you know, any roadblock or any issue that arises, we'd be willing to kind of find a way to make it work.
Awesome. Yeah, there's lots of rabbit trails that could come off of that, and the opportunities are endless.
Yeah,
we talked a bit about some of the hurdles and the roadblocks. Talk to me about some of the successes. What are some of the things you guys have been doing and have done that have been super successful?
Yeah, for sure. We basically, what we've done on the host side is enabled families, or, you know, the average citizen looking to enjoy camping, like we've provided them an affordable way to get into the RV lifestyle, whether that's a luxury Class A, you know, Airstreams are very popular on our platform as well, the Class Bs. Instead of that average family who maybe can't afford to or doesn't want to spend $100,000 on a Class A to go camping, well, we've just given them the ability to go for a week or a weekend in a Class A or an Airstream. The kids get to go along. They get to be in the RV. They don't have to, you know, sacrifice a huge kind of financial commitment to an RV when they don't even know if they like it. So that's probably our biggest success. We just like the fact that we're able to provide anyone who's looking to get into an RV, they want the introduction in the RV lifestyle, the ability to do so at an affordable price. And then on the flip side of that, we also give them an opportunity to earn some income. So if you are that entrepreneur or you do want to get, you know, some second source of income, you can do that through buying an RV and listing it with us. So we've seen big success in Airbnb and Turo. And you kind of see with Turo, you know, an RV will, or a vehicle will rent for about $100 to $200 a night. An RV, a Class A, is starting at $200, going up to $300, $350 a night. So if you are an RV entrepreneur, you like RVs, you own an RV, this is a great way to offset your ownership costs, pay off the RV, get a second one, and start your own fleet.
How big is the basis of people who are actually listing their RVs on RVeasy right now?
Yeah, so I think you're at, how many people do we have? Like, how many hosts do we currently have?
Yeah, how many hosts? And then I guess how many rigs is a ballpark number?
Yeah, so current hosts, we're just across the 15,000 marker. And then for rigs, just because of fleet owners, many people own three or four, mm-hmm. we're hovering around 25 to 30,000 RVs.
Very cool. Very cool. So tell me about the team. What does it look like on the back end for you guys? How many people are there? Where are they located? What are they doing?
Yep. So we are, we got a great team working with them 5 years. We're about 55, maybe 60 people now. The majority of which are in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. We have an office right off Elgin Street, which is one of the main streets in beautiful Ottawa, Ontario. Yeah, we have different teams. So we have the marketing team. We have our traditional customer service team. So any of our hosts or guests run into any issues, they have a number that they can call or jump onto the chat and they'll be able to help them out at any time. And then obviously we have our product team and our development team. So they kind of run the apps and the website. We do have a fantastic app. So if you have some time, download the RVZ app, take a look at it, put in some dates, check out the RVs available in your area. Check what they're going for prices. Or on the flip, if you are a host, jump on and, you know, you can start to list your RV. It won't cost you anything. It's free to list with us. And then we have kind of, you know, my team, the business development side. So just expanding to new markets, outreach with business, partnerships with dealerships. And that's basically rounds out the team. We have a few people who work out of Vancouver, Canada as well. So they are fully remote. But for the most part, yeah, our team is all in Ottawa. And yeah.
So with the public unveiling of AI bots coming out earlier this year, have you guys discussed how that's going to play into the business model? If it will be any, I'm not going to leave that question. Has it been discussed as to how that can play into the business model?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, like I said earlier, we're a nimble company. AI has been a topic of discussion for the past 2 weeks. And it's something that we're going to 100% embrace. I mean, I've been using ChatGPT. We also are using Cassidy AI, which is a connection we made through other founders of Cassidy AI. So, you know, AI is going to be something that we implement at our VZ, whether that is from a marketing perspective, helping us with email creation or outreach. Definitely the chat bot, you know, that's going to save a lot of times. I think you're going to see a lot of companies move towards that and actually start using AI to kind of be the face of their chat bot with maybe a human aspect on it if it reaches a certain level or a threshold. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting, being able to take some of those commonly, those FAQs that you publish on the website, but nobody takes the time to go find out that the bot can answer those commonly asked questions super easy. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll just pull it right for them. Yeah.
So I understand the business model and how it can be beneficial for everyone. Where's the room for innovation? Where's the thing that, and obviously you don't have to spill beans on things that haven't been published yet, but like, generally speaking, where does this model grow?
Yeah, I think, you know, without, we do have two initiatives that are in the works right now and are showing tremendous growth. Unfortunately, I won't be able to kind of spill what that is until it's public knowledge. But off the top of my head, there's so many different avenues that we can move in and not just be that rent RV rental company, right? The RV community is a massive industry. There's a lot of different avenues that we can work towards to not just become the RV rental marketplace, but basically a leader in the RV community, whether that be for destinations, whether that be for, you know, campgrounds or provincial parks, you know, one-stop shop. If you were to come to RVZ, you can book your RV, you can book your campground. There's so many different avenues that we want to go, and that's on the roadmap. And I think we're just starting to get there.
Understood. Yeah, there's lots of ways that could be tracked down, being a one-stop shop and also giving people options and being able to pick a la carte of, no, I just want the rig, or I'd like to rig an itinerary, and I'd like to say, hey, these are my dates, figure something out, I'll be here to pick it up.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think a big thing that, you know, not a lot of people who haven't rented an RV in the past or new to the RV industry, a big market for us too is our hosts will actually deliver the RV for an extra cost, Joshua. So you'd be able to come to RVZ, plug in what campground you're going to, select your dates, and for an additional $100, that host will literally meet you at your campground that you booked. He'll drop off the RV, set it up for you. You get to use it for a week, and then you get to leave. He'll come back and pick it up. You don't have to tow it. You don't have to drive it, because a lot of people, that scares a lot of people. They don't want to drive a big Class A or pull a fifth wheel, so they'll just get it delivered.
Yeah, that's really cool. Do you find, as you were saying that, it makes me think that there's a general radius of how far people end up taking rental RVs. Are most of the people renting them staying within, you know, a 200-300 mile radius, or are they big road trips that go across country?
It varies. It really does vary. For the most part, motorhomes tend to stay within province and state.
Okay.
Trailers have been kind of like, will be state to state, or a lot of kind of cross, like between Canada and the US. Mm-hmm. And then a big portion of our rentals are international renters, right? Germany, France, Spain, who come in and they'll fly into, you know, Montana, and they'll stay just within Montana, or they'll go to Calgary, Banff, and they'll stay just within there just because they're international. But, you know, we do get the cross country road trips, and we love to see those rentals. They're normally anywhere from 3 to 7, 8 months, sometimes a year. And we love to follow along with them. So if, you know, if any of your RV entrepreneurs are planning a kind of cross country trip, let us know. We'd love to kind of promote that and be involved as much as we can.
Yeah. So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. You mentioned you guys were the new dog in the game in the US.
Yep.
And I can imagine as a host, there's probably a high likelihood that if I'm going to list on your platform, I'm going to list on other platforms.
For sure.
What makes RV Easy, as someone who wants to rent, the platform that I'm going to go head to first to look for availability?
Yeah, that's a great question. What makes us different from the other guys? So from the guest perspective, you know, we pride ourselves basically on the inventory quality that we put up in every state that we're in, as well as our customer service. It's still all handled in-house. And we do have one of the best roadside protection plans in the sharing economy industry. So, you know, say in the event you do rent an RV and there is something that goes wrong, the RV can't continue on the trip, or there's going to be some serious downtime, RVZ is going to cover your hotel costs. We'll get your Ubers or your cabs to get to where you need to be. And we cover meal spoilage as well. So that's a big thing for our guests. And then on the host side, what the main difference is, if you do own an RV and you're looking to list between us or the other guys, off the top, we're only 20%. So we do take a 20% service fee from the owner compared to the other competitors who are at 25. So, you know, you'll make more money per booking with us right off the top, as well as we have the full insurance policy that covers you with the 20%.
What other questions am I not asking? What do folks need to know about RV Easy? Maybe from a user standpoint, but also from just a business standpoint of maybe your personal perspective, looking into the company of like, this is really cool how they got this set up. And, you know, I walked in or we developed this from an entrepreneurial standpoint. What kind of lights you up?
Kind of what's the process on the host side when they, like when they get a booking request? Like what happens when someone requests to book my RV essentially? And then another thing kind of on the innovative side is kind of what kind of features have we put out in the past 2 years to help hosts or to help grow the company? Yeah, for a host, what happens when you do receive your first booking request? Obviously, it's very exciting. You just received a 7-14-day booking. And from there, you can see your payout. You're going to get paid $2,300 for this booking. My kind of first thing I always tell hosts when I'm talking to them on the phone is, number one, ask your guests where they're going. Ask them, do they need the RV delivered? How many people are going to be in there? Are you bringing any pets? All of that should be answered within their booking request, and only accept the booking if you feel 100% comfortable with, you know, the answers from your guests. You can continue to chat with them through our chat system or get on the phone with them. But from there, once the booking's accepted, it's fairly simple. You're going to accept the rental agreement, which is a quick checklist that you go through just to confirm that you've done everything on your end. And then the day of the booking, you're going to go through the departure checklist. Now, this is going to tell you, take photos of the awning, take photos of the table, take photos of the fridge, take photos of the left side of the RV, the right side of the RV. And this is very crucial that you do this on the departure. This is you documenting the condition of your RV, right? Very important that you do this on every booking. I tell guests to take the photos. And as well, I always take a video whenever I was renting out my rig. I always took a video right before, after I took the photos, and I just saved the video on my phone. The photos automatically get saved to our mobile app, so our team can access those photos at any time to compare. Because when the RV comes back for the return, the condition of the RV needs to be in the exact same condition as it went out. Otherwise, you can, one, charge them from the $1,000 security deposit, or two, open up an insurance claim if there's obviously some damage to the RV. And the great thing with our insurance team is we work with any garage across North America. So you're able to bring it to any garage of your choice, and we'll bill them directly.
Very cool.
And then the second, yeah, in regards to new features that we've kind of released, two features that I've always really liked and enjoyed, one being brand newer, is called income protection. So this will hit home for the RV entrepreneur. Let's say you go out after this podcast, you hear this, you go out and you buy a $40,000 Class C. Your sole purpose is to earn money renting out this RV. We have income protection. If you turn on income protection, you will pay an additional 10%, but that will guarantee your income for the summer. So in the event that your RV goes out and there is a collision or something goes wrong with the RV and you're unable to fulfill your future bookings, RVZ is still going to guarantee every single payout that you have on your account, because we do have entrepreneurs that go out, they buy that $40,000 Class C, their sole purpose is to rent it. They accept bookings all through the summer, all through the fall, and on the second booking, something happens to the RV, it can no longer go out. Well, that owner's now no longer, you know, not covered. They still have that income coming in because they're protected with our RVZ income protection. So a great new tool. It's a lot of adoption because a lot of people like having that safety net. Mm-hmm. And, you know, peace of mind. So we've seen a lot of hosts add that on and take adoption to it. So it's great to see. And then the second being featured RV, which is something we've had for about 3 years now. But if anywhere in your area, you can select featured RV, and this will put you to the top of the search results. It's an additional 5%, and you're able to just kind of get a boost right to the top. And then once you get filled up, you'll obviously no longer show in search anymore because your RV is booked fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me about the income protection. Where did that stem from?
Yeah. So the income protection was, a lot of basically data and a lot of feedback from guests, right? Like our fleet owners who are on our platform, whether this be meeting them at RV shows or at the host appreciation nights that we throw across the country, this is just a constant feedback loop that we've been hearing is, you know, I got a $10,000 booking, but if my RV can't go, and people were scared, they didn't want to take any other bookings because they got that $10,000 RV booking, you know, in 3 months from now, they weren't accepting any other bookings because they couldn't risk their RV getting damaged or something happened to it, maintenance, and it can't go out on the $10,000 one. So we actually had people stop sending their RV out once they got a massive booking. So we're like, well, how do we fit in? How can we fix that and provide a solution for these people so that they can guarantee that longer booking and keep renting out their RV in the meantime? So we came up with income protection. It's only an additional 10% to the host, but we'll guarantee your payouts for any future bookings.
That is really interesting. I would not have thought about that, but it makes total sense because they want to protect the asset to get the bigger payout. But then in the meantime, you guys don't have the inventory to service the current smaller demands.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
Very interesting. So walk me through a brainstorm here. If there's an entrepreneur who is a full-time RVer, they don't necessarily have a physical space. Have you heard of any of your hosts having similar opportunities and come out with ways that they could have a fleet but not physically be present?
Yeah, for sure. And I know a few people that they come to the top of my head that actually do that. The main one, he is physically present, but in your scenario, you would be able to give him your RV or your second RV, and he'll rent it out for you all summer. He'll charge an additional fee, obviously on top of the RVZ one, just for his time and him managing it.
Mm-hmm.
But we call it consignment. So we do have consignment owners all across North America that would be willing to, if you're interested, to have you deliver your RV to them. They'll run it for the summer or the few months that they can, and then they'll give it back to you, and they'll split the revenue with you, and you guys would get to work out a percentage. That's all kind of off RVZ's platform, but the bookings are still run through RVZ.
Right. That makes total sense. Are there any parameters for people listening that are interested in renting out their RV of things that need to be met in order for an RV to be eligible?
Yeah, great question. Great question. And I'm happy you asked that, because a lot of the times I have these conversations with people at the RV shows, and they come back and they tell me they just bought, you know, a motorhome that's from 1988. So we do have age requirements. Motorized vehicles have to be 20 years or newer, and then trailers have to be 25 years or newer, with the exceptions for trailers. Doesn't matter the age of these guys, they can be as old as they are. The Airstreams and the Bowlers, we do have special approval for those two specific manufacturers from our insurance provider, just because they're built so well.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, that is definitely plays into it, and how just the general product that you're providing to the customers renting, you got to have that quality there.
Yeah, exactly.
There's definitely, as you pointed out with RVs, the longer they sit, the more, they're kind of like airplanes, that if they get used, they're going to get a little bit worn out, but they're going to be in generally better condition than if they're just sitting somewhere. They're definitely designed to be used. So
yeah.
Very cool. That's a lot of opportunities there, and there's a lot of opportunities there to take one thing and kind of morph it or spin off into another thing, because it sounds like, you know, being a consigner is a totally another opportunity, that if you want to run other people's rigs, that you could even do that as a side gig or a side hustle.
100%. You know, I have a buddy who once we started this, he started going to Craigslist and Kijiji, people selling their RVs. You know, he's saying, hey, mm-hmm. don't sell your RV for the summer. Let me take it from you. I'll rent it out through RVZ. I'll make hopefully anywhere from $8,000 to $10,000 this summer. I'll give you 5 or 6 and I'll take the 4. And then you can sell it come fall. And I think he picked up 3 RVs that summer, just cold calling Craigslist and Kijiji. And, you know, he made a pretty buck, just, you know, a couple thousand dollars, just renting them out throughout the summer, gave them back to the owner, and the owner was able to sell them again in the fall.
Yeah. Just sweat equity for him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Malcolm. Well, let me know where's the best place for folks to find out more, both from a hosting side and from a renting side.
Yeah, for sure. So both from the host side, you're going to want to head over to www.rvz.com/owner. And then on the guest side, you're just going to want to go to our main website. And then if you scroll down to the bottom, you can see the FAQ as well as our chat bot. If you do have any questions about getting started, you can reach out to me personally at malcolm@rvz.com. So that's malcolm@rvz.com.
And that's R-V-E-Z-Y, correct?
That is correct. Yep.
Yeah. How long did it take you to get through saying that with the E and the V sound together?
Yeah. it took a while. Yeah. And then, like I said, when we did that US tour and we're going to all the US cities, just saying the letter, I think it was Z or Z. I was saying it like, we say it differently from Canada to the US. So people were getting a little confused with that, which was, I thought was quite funny.
Yeah, that's interesting. Thanks for giving a little bit of insight into this business model. I think it's really cool, and it shows a lot of different tiers of taking the RV industry into an entrepreneurial mindset in some ways that can literally cost you no money, and you start with sweat equity and time, but then also just provide opportunity of using resources and assets that you already have in a way that was unheard of 10 years ago. So thank you, Malcolm, for jumping on the call and sharing all that with us. And yeah, I'm going to say thank you again. Thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Joshua. Thank you.
But there you go, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode with Malcolm from RV Easy. I will put all the links to the things that he mentioned in the show notes. It's a really cool opportunity. You know, there's opportunities there if you have an asset and you want to make some money off of it. So you're not using your RV for a few months. You can rent it out on the platform and be a host. There's also the opportunity to be, you know, a fleet manager, get a bunch of RVs and rent them out and make it a full-on fleet business. But then I also thought it was really cool when he started talking about the consigning option. I'd be curious to know if in the future they get into kind of bringing those consigners into the platform themselves and having it be a part of RV Easy or any of these peer-to-peer platforms, in so much as they're not just someone who does this and then they work with the platform